This is Joanna Schrader reporting from The Hill, and I am with Brian Jennings with ACE. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So, Brian, you know, we talked just the other day, but we are finally here. We're finally in D.C., and holy cow, did you have a good turnout. How many people from how many states, guesstimate, do you think are here?
Well, I can't give you exact numbers, but I think it's north of 60 people from, you know, 10, 12, maybe 13 different states around the country. And what I really found to be just encouraging, and it just renews every reason why you work in the ethanol industry, was the briefing session we had this morning with our members, where at the point in time where we just turned things over to them and said, what's on your mind? What kind of advice do you have for your fellow grassroots ethanol supporters when they go to a congressional office? You know, what do you think they should say? And I thought the best part of the morning was just that very real, very genuine, very human conversation. You know, a banker standing up and giving advice about this, and someone that works for an advanced biofuel company giving advice on another topic, and a corn farmer or a livestock producer standing up and giving their perspective. I just thought that was really an exercise in democracy and why this industry means so much.
So, Brian, you divided people up in groups, and they met with, it's got to be close to 50-plus people today. So hearing back from them, what have been sort of some of those key issues that these legislators have been asking about?
Really encouraging so far. A lot of reports back that Congress doesn't feel like, while there's opposition to the renewable fuel standard, a lot of these members of Congress don't feel like any RFS sort of repeal legislation is going to get traction. Now, we can't take that to the bank, and we got to keep pressure on Congress, but the early encouraging signs that the RFS is perhaps in a safe place was really good. Lots of questions about E15, and clearly our industry needs to do, and you and I have talked about this, not only with consumers in the media, but on Capitol Hill, we have a lot more education to do about E15, and so quite a bit of that. And then another thing that I picked up in some of the meetings that I personally attended was a point we made this morning, which was remind members of Congress and their staff people that corn ethanol does not receive a subsidy. And a lot of these staffers and members of Congress said, you know, so many people that write us continue to say, why does corn ethanol get a subsidy? And we have to write them a letter back saying corn ethanol hasn't received a subsidy since, you know, or a tax credit since 2011. So that education process continues. And so it's important that we, you know, continue to share that message. So I think those were some of the early takeaways from today.
Brian, what about the RIN situation? RIN prices have gone up. I've heard some grumblings as I was walking around the different buildings today. A real lack of understanding about how the RIN process worked. Were there questions about that from the people you met with today, or was that not really on their radar here in The Hill?
In the three or four meetings I had today, it only came up in one office. It was a member of Congress from Delaware, and I think this staffer really pays attention, very close attention to what's going on in the industry, had very good questions. And so, you know, I think we're here at a really good time for this RIN sanity, if you will, to potentially get in front of it. I feel like we've educated we've armed our teams with enough good information to sort of combat those issues. What we're trying to explain to folks is that a RIN is free to a refiner as long as a refiner purchases a gallon of ethanol pursuant to the RFS. And if obligated party buys more ethanol than what the RFS calls for, then a RIN is something of value to them. Members of Congress don't quite understand that a RIN doesn't belong to ethanol producers, and so we're helping educate them that a RIN is something that we sort of give away for free to the oil companies, and the oil companies are trading these things amongst themselves. And I think that's opened a lot of eyes on Capitol Hill. The RIN market, which did take off in the last couple of weeks, is unregulated. It's, you know, there's no regulation or transparency. It's refiners calling other refiners saying, do you have any RINs for sale? Yes, I do. How much will you give them or sell them to me for? And so maybe this will make Congress kind of pay closer attention to what oil companies are doing to perhaps drive these RIN prices places they shouldn't go, all the while avoiding blending ethanol with gas.
Brian, one of the things I noticed as I was talking about a lot of the staffers and senators had actually mentioned about how valuable the information has been over the years that you've given them. So was there any particular request today from some of them on some follow-up information that they're needing from you?
You know, and I don't know what other teams would say, but in my meetings there was a request for follow-up information on the RIN price issue. There was a request for follow-up information on E15. They wanted some more information from us on E15. And that's one of the things we stressed with folks this morning is try to avail yourself as a valuable resource to these people. Get their business card. Stay in contact with them. When they have questions about ethanol, we want them contacting our members as opposed to the big oil companies. And so that's really been an encouraging sign. And I'll say in a couple of the meetings I've been to, I think for the last 3 or 4 years, thanks to Absolute Energy, an ethanol plant in Iowa, we've handed out these small bags, these samples of number 2 yellow corn and distiller's grain. And I think that this has become so popular that folks come to expect those bags. In fact, in one of the meetings, they said, oh, good, I get another bag of corn and distiller's grain so I can share it with a freshman member of Congress and kind of educate them that ethanol results in food and fuel. And so that's precisely why we do that, and it was really nice to hear that that's what they intended to do.
So, Brian, in closing, you do have a good group of people that are following along sort of virtually. So going into tomorrow, what's some of your initial advice for those who aren't here today but know that they need, whether they're at home or whether they make a trip out to D.C., what they should do?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we're trying to encourage our members to write or contact their United States senator specifically during our fly-in because we're really trying to pay close attention to the Senate and encourage them, those members of Congress, to support the RFS. And so they can go to our website, ethanol.org, and get information about how they can just personalize a message to their senators in support of that. We're also trying to, I didn't get to do that today, but we're trying to be active on the Twitterverse, which you guys are great at Domestic Fuel. And we're trying to make sure that people are following members of Congress and tweeting about their experiences out here. And so if someone is sitting at home that can't be at the fly-in, but you follow yourself or someone on our staff or someone that's tweeting about the experience out here, retweet them, you know, kind of help be the echo chamber that gets that message out there to more and more people. That'd be a very helpful thing.
Well, great. Well, we'll see tomorrow if the tweeting verse goes up. We should tell people it's hashtag ACEDC13. And we'll see if we can get some more tweets. And we will check in with you tomorrow after your morning session and after the Century of Subsidies press conference.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks.